Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on planning and deploying SMS 2003. My name is Adam Field. In this session, we'll cover the following areas. We'll talk about why you should use SMS 2003 and the benefits that you can expect. Then, we'll talk about what SMS does and how it does it. Next, we'll talk about the various methods of deploying SMS. Finally, we'll talk about some of the tools you can use to deploy SMS 2003. You should have knowledge and experience in the following areas to get the most out of this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it might be helpful for you to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Experience of systems management would be beneficial to you. An understanding of the concepts of systems management would also be useful. So let's look at the agenda for this session. In this session, we will begin with an overview of why you should consider going to SMS 2003. We will talk briefly about a report produced by Forrester and provide a link so that you can look at it in detail in your own time. Then, we will talk about how you can migrate from SMS 2 to SMS 2003 Service Pack 1. All of the content in this session is focused on SMS 2003 Service Pack 1. Whether you're upgrading an existing SMS environment or performing a clean install, SMS 2003 SP1 is recommended over the RTM version since it contains numerous hotfixes and additional features, some of which we'll cover today. Next, we'll review some tools that are available to help you plan your deployment. One of these tools is the SMS 2003 Capacity Planner tool. It provides guidance regarding how to go about sizing your hardware and planning your site hierarchy and infrastructure deployment, which is required to support SMS 2003. Then, we'll talk about some of the differences when deploying SMS 2003 in a new environment where no previous SMS deployment exists. Finally, we'll cover some of the asset and inventory information that you get when using SMS 2003. We'll also talk a little more about some of the other features, such as deployment of operating systems, to try and illustrate some of the value that you get after you've deployed SMS 2003. Let's look at the SMS value proposition. Before we look at deployment planning methodology for SMS, we're going to take a look at why you would want to deploy a change management product like SMS. The value of change management solutions can be viewed in three key ways. Help me deploy things easier. Whether that's deploying software updates, software applications like Microsoft Office Visio or Microsoft Project, or custom line of business applications developed by your company. In modern corporate networked environments, deployment can become highly complex, with branch offices all over the place and mobile workers who are always on the move and using a variety of mobile devices. A key principle of systems management is that the fewer system configurations that you have to manage, the easier it is to deploy and manage, which reduces the total cost of ownership, or TCO. Thus, deploying custom desktop images is also an important feature for configuration management solution. Help me understand what I own. Many organizations have large numbers of computers, but don't know where they're located, what all the hardware specifications are, and who's logging onto them. When evaluating software in an organization for potential deployment, increased vision of the existing environment can make the exercise a lot easier and also assist with putting a realistic cost estimate to the work. Knowing what hardware you have and what operating systems and applications are installed are all key parts of creating this vision. As well as knowing what software is installed, you should also be able to see which software products are actually being used, which can also help to reduce TCO by allowing you to relocate unused software licenses to where they are needed most, and removing applications that are no longer being used. Help me secure my platform. In addition to just performing software updates and applying patches to systems, change management solutions can help you understand the vulnerability of systems. For example, how many systems are vulnerable and exposed to a given attack or don't have a particular patch installed? There is some excellent documentation available regarding processes you can use to keep your systems up to date with the latest software updates. Links are provided in the accompanying session guide. But what value does SMS represent in real terms? In January 2004, Microsoft commissioned Forrester Research to examine the financial impact and potential return on investment, or ROI, enterprises might realize by upgrading from SMS 2 to SMS 2003. Forrester examined the specific costs, cost savings, and risk elements that are incurred by upgrading from SMS 2 to an environment that primarily uses SMS 2003 for client and server patch management and application deployment. What were the results of the study? Forrester's study yielded three key findings. ROI. Based on the interviews with the five existing customers provided to Forrester by Microsoft, Forrester constructed a TEI framework, composite company, an associated ROI analysis that illustrates the financial impact areas. As seen above, the ROI for this composite company is 123%, with a break-even point or payback period of about 11 months after deployment. The composite organization had 325 servers and 20,000 desktop and laptop devices. Forrester found that higher ROIs were associated with companies with a large mobile distributed workforce. In most cases, companies that experienced a higher ROI were using the latest Windows operating systems and had relatively new and stable hardware platforms. Benefits. Organizations that were upgrading to SMS 2003 from SMS 2 saw efficiency benefits within IT, as well as increased stability and ease of use among server, desktop, and mobile clients. Benefits were both transformational and incremental. Benefits mentioned during the interview process included efficiency improvements to IT in application and patch distribution, effective monitoring of hardware and software assets, and close integration with Active Directory throughout the organization. A breakdown of 3-year benefits to the composite organization included patch management servers, 10%, patch management mobile clients, 14%, application deployment servers, 4%, application deployment mobile clients, 26%, improved help desk efficiency, 25%, reduced distribution failures, desktop clients, 9%, packaging, desktop clients, 12%. Costs. Costs of SMS 2003 migration varied by organization. Typical costs included the licensing costs of the solution itself, any planning and implementation costs, cost of initial tuning and integration, and any additional training for IT staff. A breakdown of 3-year costs to the composite organization included license cost, 67%, support costs, 29%, and planning and implementation costs, 4%. Now, we'll provide a quick overview of how SMS works. SMS has various components and concepts, which we'll briefly explain now. For those who have never used SMS before, we'll briefly talk about SMS site roles and how SMS works. The first component is the SMS client. This is the client agent that is deployed to any workstation, server, or laptop that you want to manage with SMS. the SMS client communicates with a site role called the management point. This is where the client will do a number of different things as it receives information from the management point, which we call policy. Policy is instructions such as, please meter the following applications and report back on their usage. Or it might be an instruction that says, please install Office on a particular computer at 1 a.m. on Saturday. In turn, the client sends data back up to the management point, including things like inventory reports, status messages from the progress of software distribution, and software metering usage data. When an SMS client needs to deploy a piece of software or run a script, it communicates with a site role called a distribution point. This is the site role that hosts content. So in an organisation, you would have distribution points located around whatever geography your organisation might cover, and use SMS to pre-stage and deploy content to SMS clients. So, for example, the files required to install Office would be located on a distribution point. An SMS client can then retrieve the content to a local cache, or install it directly from the distribution point. The SMS site server is the command and control center for a site, and SMS is organized logically into sites. Sites provide scope of administration and scope of control, so administrators of the site have the ability to deploy software, collect metering and inventory information, or perform any SMS tasks with a computer that is reporting to the site. Sites are hierarchical, so there may be a number of sites in a hierarchy. Administrators at the top of the hierarchy have a scope of control over the entire organisation, whereas administrators at the lower tier only have scope of control over their own sites and any child sites. Site servers send policy down to a management point so that a client can retrieve it, and all of the information that the management point collects is pushed back up to the site server. The site server aggregates this data for all of the clients in a site so that reports can be produced. Site servers also push content to distribution points. As mentioned previously, SMS uses hierarchical sites, so here we have the concept of a parent site. Parent sites receive all of the information from lower tiers of the hierarchy, and policy and content for lower tiers also originates here. Data aggregated here provides SMS administrators with enterprise-wide reports. Let's move on to deployment strategies. Now that we're up to speed with how SMS works, let's take a look at some deployment strategies. So let's look at where you can start your deployment from. There are three scenarios in which SMS 2003 SP1 can be deployed. We will cover all three of these scenarios in this session. The first scenario is where no versions of SMS are installed in the environment. This is considered unmanaged. The second scenario is where SMS 2 is being used to manage the environment. The third scenario is where the RTM version of SMS 2003 is being used to manage the environment. Let's look at the clean install strategy. In our first scenario, our only option is to perform a new installation of SMS 2003. The tools available to plan a fresh deployment are the planning worksheets and the capacity planner. You will see a demonstration of the capacity planner later on. Right now, we'll briefly discuss the planning worksheets. The purpose of these worksheets, provided in the scenarios and procedures for planning and deployment document, is to provide a structure around which customers can add data about their specific environments and their specific needs. The goal is to get ideas from the worksheets and determine the specific plan that makes the most sense to them on how they'll carry out the deployment. Having said that, some pieces of information are likely to be common to almost all deployments. So what if you already have SMS 2? In our second scenario, where SMS 2 is already in use, several methods can be used. The first approach would be to plan as if there were no management in place. The methods used for this approach would be the same as the previous scenario. However, this approach isn't recommended. In the time between decommissioning SMS2 and commissioning SMS2003 SP1, your clients will all be in an unmanaged state. That said, there may be valid situations in which you want to start with a fresh installation. The recommended approach would then be to perform a side-by-side upgrade. This involves building an SMS2003 site alongside your existing 2.0 implementation. When the new site is up and running with all the clients migrated, the old one can be decommissioned. A third option would be to perform an in-place upgrade. As you'd expect, this basically involves upgrading all your SMS2 components to the SMS2003 SP1 versions. The only situation in which you may want to choose the side-by-side upgrade method would be if your existing 2.0 implementation has fundamental issues that upgrading will not resolve. For both the in-place and side-by-side methods, there are a number of tools that you can use. The planning worksheets and the capacity planner can be used. You'll see a demonstration on the capacity planner shortly. The deployment readiness wizard is a tool that you can run against your existing SMS2 implementation. In fact, it's a requirement for an in-place upgrade. It looks at the configuration of your current environment and ensures that the hierarchy and the site are configured properly and ready for an upgrade to SMS2003. To give you an example of the types of things that this will do, in SMS2003 there is no longer a logon point site component. Running the deployment readiness wizard will check to see that all logon points have been disabled before allowing you to proceed with installing SMS2003. If the deployment readiness wizard encounters any serious issues, it will prevent SMS setup from continuing until the issues have been rectified. When the issues are resolved, the deployment readiness wizard can be rerun and you can then proceed with the setup. The final tool listed here is setup.exe/testdbupgrade. This is a switch that can be run on the SMS setup program. It performs a test upgrade of the SMS database to ensure that there will be no problems with upgrading. It is critically important that you perform this test upgrade on a backup copy of your SMS database, because this switch performs an upgrade of the database. If this were to encounter any issues, we'd have some serious problems with your existing SMS installation and would probably have to restore a previous backup of the database. If the test upgrade runs successfully, you can proceed with your upgrade. Let's recap the strategies and look at the pros and cons of each. A wipe and load installation gives the most flexibility in the design of your SMS2003 architecture, but there will be a period during migration when you lose management control. An in-place upgrade is the easiest and least expensive upgrade method and is recommended for most customers who are upgrading from SMS2. However, upgrading existing SMS infrastructure will perpetuate any past design choices, so you should ensure that these choices still meet the needs of your organization. A side-by-side upgrade addresses the downsides of the other two methods, but can also be more expensive and more complicated. There are some other things to consider when performing an upgrade. Additional considerations when performing an upgrade include the use of a holding site. A holding site may be required if you are still managing Windows 98 clients. SMS 2003 does not support Windows 98 clients. However, having an SMS 2 site as a child of an SMS 2003 site is supported and is the recommended method for managing Windows 98 clients until they can be upgraded to a supported operating system or replaced. We'll demonstrate on the next slide how you can use a holding site. In any upgrade, you want to use the deployment readiness wizard. Depending on the size of your SMS organization, you may want to perform the upgrade in stages. Purely from a risk mitigation perspective, you may want to ensure that you are not exposing your organization to too much risk by upgrading your entire SMS hierarchy at once. If you want to phase your deployment of SMS 2003, you must upgrade your central site, the top site in your SMS hierarchy, first. because while an SMS2 site reporting to an SMS2003 site is supported, the opposite is not true. You cannot upgrade a site to SMS2003 if its parent is still SMS2. The best practice when performing a phased upgrade would be to upgrade your SMS hierarchy in branches. So let's look at how we would use a holding site in an SMS 2.0 to 2003 upgrade. Here you can see we've got two existing SMS 2.0 sites. If you look on the bottom, you can see that each of these sites has three different types of clients: a Windows 95 client, a Windows NT4 client, and a Windows 2000 client. The sites are called Site X and Site Y, and site boundaries have been defined. Site X manages all of the clients in subnet A, and Site Y manages all of the clients in subnet B. Now we need to create the holding site. What we want to end up with is all of the Windows 95 clients reporting to Site X, and leave that site at SMS2, and all the remaining clients reporting to Site Y, which we're going to upgrade to SMS2003. The first step is to add subnet IP B to the site boundary of Site X. Clients in subnet B are now dual assigned to both SMS sites. This isn't something you would want to do in normal circumstances, but in this example it's only a temporary change. Then we carry out the opposite step on Site Y. So both subnets are now both assigned to both sites. Next, we upgrade Site Y to SMS2003. We now have the SMS2 holding site at Site X, and the SMS2003 site at Site Y. We can now upgrade the clients that are running NT4 and above to use the SMS2003 version of the SMS client. The result of this is that since SMS2 clients cannot assign themselves to an SMS2003 site, they will automatically break their assignment to Site Y. Conversely, SMS2003 clients cannot assign themselves to an SMS2 site, so they automatically break their assignment with Site X. Site boundary overlap can now be left in place without any issues. Now let's look at the cli-upgrade/disable command. The cli-upgrade tool can be used as part of a phased deployment of SMS2003 to control how the SMS client is deployed. This is done in 7 steps. In this example, each of these computers in the 3 groups represents 1,000 computers. So altogether, there are 9,000 computers in the site. As mentioned previously, risk mitigation is an important consideration when planning large upgrades. So in this example, we've split the computers into 3 equally sized groups, A, B and C. We will upgrade the computers one group at a time so as to lower the risk of the upgrade. First, we will use SMS software distribution to advertise cli-upgrade/disable to the computers in groups B and C. Next, we upgrade the SMS site server to SMS2003. This automatically upgrades the computers in group A to the SMS2003 client. Let's assume that the client upgrade to Group A was successful, but we don't want to automatically upgrade the clients in Group B. In most scenarios, you wouldn't want to do this, but this is to demonstrate the multiple ways in which you can upgrade SMS clients. We want to use software distribution to upgrade our clients in Group B. SMS2003 uses the management point to distribute software, so we need to assign the management point role to one of our site systems. We can then advertise the SMS2003 client to the Group B systems for installation through software distribution. Once the client upgrade has been successfully completed on Groups A and B, we can then advertise cli-upgrade/enable to Group C, which will then allow automatic installation of the SMS2003 client. Let's move on to our final deployment scenario. This scenario covers an upgrade from SMS 2003 RTM, or Release to Market, to SMS 2003 SP1. This should be the most straightforward of the three scenarios, since you can just upgrade your systems. In essence, you are just applying a service pack, so a lot less planning should be required than in the other two scenarios. Full interoperability between the two products means that you can upgrade your clients followed by your management points, or your management points followed by your clients, depending on your organization's requirements. Additionally, this interoperability means that you have the flexibility to upgrade your advanced clients ahead of your site server upgrade. One point worth noting is that the SMS 2003 legacy client is no longer supported by SP1 on computers running Windows 2000 or later, so you should ensure that these systems are migrated to the SMS Advanced client prior to upgrading to SMS 2003 SP1. So we've seen the upgrade methodologies, now let's summarise the factors affecting deployment. Many factors may have an impact on your deployment. Most of these factors, and a few more besides, are covered in the planning worksheets discussed previously, but we will highlight these areas. In an SMS 2.0 upgrade, your concern would centre around what percentage of your clients meet the prerequisites for SMS 2003, and what percentage of your clients will be advanced clients. Unless you have a very specific reason, use the advanced client for systems running Windows 2000 or later. The legacy client was an excellent client in its day, and it did what it needed to do, but the advanced client is vastly superior and provides much greater performance and reliability. We mentioned previously the need for a holding site if you have any clients that don't meet the prerequisites for SMS 2003. In a clean install, you need to consider that SMS 2003 offers no client support for Windows 95 or earlier, Windows ME, or Windows XP Home. NetWare servers can also no longer hold site roles as they could in SMS 2.0, and SQL Server 6.5 is no longer supported. There are environmental factors to consider as well. How mature is your management? Is your network ready to go to SMS 2003? Do you have the right training in place? Do your administrators understand how to use SMS 2003? Also, how mature is your security? Are you ready from a security perspective to go to SMS 2003? And are you ready to use advanced security? We'll cover advanced security in a little more detail in a few minutes' time. Is Active Directory installed? SMS 2003 does not require Active Directory, but if you have Active Directory, you get some additional functionality. If your Active Directory deployment is in progress, you will have to consider the impact that this may have on your SMS deployment. Is SQL Server up to date or scheduled to be upgraded? SMS 2003 no longer supports SQL Server 6.5, so you need to factor this into your deployment plan if necessary. Several of the site roles in SMS 2003 require IIS. So can your environment support SMS, specifically on the management point and bits-enabled distribution point? If you have Active Directory, you will need to make some schema extensions to allow SMS to take advantage of it. We'll explain these changes later on in this presentation. The biggest considerations affecting an SMS 2003 deployment are what effect SMS 2003 will have on your network and on your cost of implementation, because your SMS implementation design will affect and be affected by both of these factors. That is what we have the capacity planning tool for, so let's take a look at that tool now. Now let's look at the SMS capacity planner tool. Which decision is most critical when planning capacity for your SMS site systems? Often, when people are planning an SMS deployment, they tend to focus on making sure that their central site is the best that it can possibly be, since all of the sites below it in the hierarchy will be pushing data up to it. As a result, a lot of effort is spent on making it robust. The fact of the matter is, that it's your edge systems that have the most impact on your SMS 2003 implementation. By edge systems, I mean the ones at the bottom of your SMS hierarchy. These are the ones that will have the greatest impact on how much your SMS 2003 implementation will cost. First, because there is more of them. Second, because if you overspecify them, you'll be spending money unnecessarily. And if you underspecify them, you'll need to find more money to spend to fill holes in your initial implementation. The capacity planning tool can help ensure that your edge systems are specified appropriately. You also need to decide whether it's more important to conserve network resources or to conserve dollars, because the way in which you implement your edge sites will have a big impact on your balance between the two. Again, the capacity planner is here to help. The capacity planner allows you to input some parameters about your environment and then allows you to model what SMS traffic will look like. It helps you decide what kind of server configuration you'll need in terms of processor speed, amount of memory, and amount of disk space to support your intended SMS environment. Let's take a look at the various levels of an SMS site deployment. When you're determining what SMS infrastructure to deploy to a site, you can choose from 6 levels. At the bottom end, you can choose to have no SMS site systems. This might be a branch office with 10 computers and no local SMS infrastructure. All clients would access management points and distribution points over the Wide Area Network, or WAN. This is fully supported and, in certain circumstances, is an appropriate choice to make when planning your SMS deployment. One step up, you can choose to have a local distribution point in your site. To use the earlier example, if you have 10 computers in a remote site with no SMS infrastructure and you want to install Microsoft Office on those computers, each of those computers will have to download the Office install package over the WAN, which could be up to 800 megabytes. With a local distribution point, the Office install package would only be downloaded once over the WAN, and the 10 clients would then download it using local network bandwidth. If you want even tighter control over your bandwidth, you need a secondary site. Building on the previous example, while the 10 computers will download Office from their local distribution point, when they send information to the site, they will send it to the remote management point. Also, when packages for software distribution are sent, there is no throttling or bandwidth control between a site server and a distribution point, so packages will use any available bandwidth. With a secondary site in place, you can use senders between the primary and secondary sites to provide throttling and bandwidth control, and to also configure time windows in which data should be sent. In addition to your clients being able to download Office locally, you can ensure that it is only sent to the remote distribution point between the hours of 7 p.m. and 3 a.m. and that during business hours the updates are throttled back. Clients are still sending metering and inventory information across the WAN to the remote management point, so if you want tighter control over that, you can configure a proxy management point so that all clients in your site report to the proxy management point. When the proxy forwards it, it uses the sender, so you get a greater degree of control over network resource usage. Management points require access to a SQL server, so if you want to move it up another step, you can give your site its own SQL server. This way, when the management point needs to check the site database to determine what client policies to implement, it gets it from the local SQL server, which is replicated on a scheduled basis. For maximum control, you could make your site into a primary site. We've talked a lot about the SMS capacity planner, so let's take a look at it. This is the SMS capacity planner tool, an Excel spreadsheet with embedded macros that will walk you through configuring and sizing an SMS site. In this demo, I will enter the scenarios that I'm trying to address with SMS, I will talk about some of the assumptions, I'll do some analysis of my different sites, and then I will get some output with specific recommendations of how I should size my hardware and configure my SMS site. I would like to make it clear that these are recommendations only, and you should not go directly from this spreadsheet and build your production SMS environment. You should validate the suggested configurations in a test environment before commissioning production SMS servers. First, under Scenarios, I'm going to enter the information about the different sites that I want to manage. You can enter this directly into the spreadsheet, but the easiest way is to click Build Topology. I'm going to start by modelling a simple environment. I have a small organisation based in Seattle with 300 clients at its head office. In three Seattle suburbs, there are small satellite offices with 50 computers in each. Let's model that out. My first location is called Seattle. This represents my organisation's head office. In the number of locations like this box, I'll enter 1, as this is the top of the organisation. Clients in the head office are connected with a 10 megabit Ethernet connection, so I'll set my link to 10,240 kilobits. For the link with parent value, this is the top site in my hierarchy and doesn't have a parent, so I'll just leave that setting as is. The same goes for the percent of parent link allow for management. I have a local SMS administrator present in Seattle, so I'll leave the local admin present checkbox selected. As I said, there are 300 clients in Seattle, so I'll enter 300. I have three child locations, but they're all the same, so I'll enter 1 here and click Next. Now, I need to enter the details of my child locations. I'm going to call this one Suburb Child Sites. In the number of locations like this box, I'll enter 3. In my suburb offices, the clients are also on 10 megabit Ethernet connections, so I'll leave that setting as the default. However, their link with the head office is a DSL line, so I'll enter a value of 1500. I'm going to allow management to use a third of my link, so I'll type 33%. It's worth noting that you have to type the percent sign here, you can't just input the value in numbers. At my suburb offices, I don't want to have a local administrator, so I'll clear this checkbox. I have 50 clients at each of my child sites, so I'll enter that here, and then click Next, and I'm done. Now I'm going to discuss some of the assumptions and answer some questions about how I'm going to use SMS. Let's start with the basic assumptions. I want to use inventory, so I'll select Yes. I don't want software metering, so I'll select No for that. I do want to use software distribution, so I'll select Yes for that. Let's look at how I'll use the features that I've just selected. The recommended approach here is to model the peak. By that, I mean if the most you're going to deploy Office to is the 450 clients simultaneously, then model for the largest usage that you expect. By modelling for the peak usage, when I'm using less than peak, I have a system that can adequately deal with it. Okay, let's assume that I'm going to deploy Office once a year. The default here is twice a year, but I'm a small organisation and once a year is enough. For line of business applications, my organisation uses an application that is about 30 megabytes. Again, I'm a small business, so I only expect to update this once every 6 months. For patches and line of business updates, I know that Microsoft releases patches every 30 days, so I'll change this value to 30. Next, since roaming clients have an effect on bandwidth usage, I need to designate what percentage of clients will roam or leave their assigned SMS site at any time. I don't have many roaming users, so I'll change that to 5%. Let's take a brief look at some of the advanced settings. I can set the number of collections that my client belongs to. In this case, it's only 25. I can also configure things like the number of policies I will have per collection, the number of packages per client, and the number of advertisements sent per day per client. Let's move on to the analysis. Clicking Scenarios and Analysis returns me to the main Capacity Planner screen. Now I'm going to click Analyze All Locations. This screen shows me the various rates of parent and client link usage using the various levels of SMS infrastructure deployment that I talked about a few minutes ago. You can see that with no SMS site systems, I would use about 2% of my DSL link. You can see the variance in link usage as you add the various site components. Notice that option 6 is unavailable because I specified that there were no local administrators at my child sites. I specified that I wanted to allow up to 33% of my link for management, and I'm a small business, so I'll select the No SMS Site Server option and then click Next to return to the main Capacity Planner screen. If I now click Output, you can see the recommendations that the Capacity Planner tool has produced for me. For my Seattle site, it's recommending that I deploy one primary site server with a 1 GHz processor, 1 GB of RAM, a 4-disk SCSI array, and a 100 megabit network card. It also says that I should provision enough disk space to store a year's worth of packages. If I scroll down, I can see that there are no recommendations for my child sites, since I specified no SMS site systems. Okay, that was a fairly simple scenario. Let's take a look at a more complex one. Luckily, the Capacity Planner tool has a sample built in, so I don't have to enter all of the information. Here, you can see I've got a central site. Reporting to it, I have child sites, Europe, North America, and Asia Pacific. My central site has no clients reporting to it. Europe has about 11,000 clients, North America has 30,000, and Asia Pacific has 500. You'll also notice that my link from Asia Pacific back to my central site is a relatively slow link for an international WAN like this. Moving down, we have some district sites. I have 5 District A sites, with 90 clients each, reporting to the Europe site, and 10 District B sites, with 150 clients each, reporting to the North America site. Note the speed of the District A parent link and the District B parent and client links. If I click Assumptions, you can see that most of these settings are the same as in the previous scenario. Let's move on to the analysis phase. If I click Analyze All Locations, we can see the effect that the various levels of SMS site configuration will have on client and parent bandwidth usage. The first site is the District A sites, which, if you remember, only had a 28K link to the Europe parent site. You'll see that option 1, No SMS Site Server, would severely saturate the parent link and is therefore unavailable. The primary site server is also unavailable, since I have no local administrator on these sites. Although a secondary site with a distribution point would use a little more bandwidth than a distribution point by itself, I'm going to select option 3, as it's still within my bandwidth usage specifications. It also gives me a little extra control through the use of senders, so I can make sure that SMS traffic doesn't interfere with the normal day-to-day business of my organisation. If I click Next, we move to the District B sites. Again, you can see that having no SMS site systems would severely saturate the parent link. I'm going to select option 3 again and select a secondary site. As we move to Asia Pacific, in the next tier of the site hierarchy, you can see that the difference between having no SMS site systems against the various site configuration levels is fairly dramatic. In my example, I know that the Asia Pacific site has fairly stringent bandwidth requirements, so I'll select option 4 and include a proxy management point as well as the secondary site and distribution point. The other sites are automatically assumed to be primary sites since they have local administrators present. If I click the output button, you can see the customized output for this scenario. For my central site, it recommends a server with 4 2.4 GHz processors, 4 GB of RAM, and a 5-disk SCSI array. It also provides detail of how the disks should be configured. If I scroll down to the Europe site, you can see that it recommends a primary site server with 2 3 GHz processors. However, it also recommends that I need 3 distribution point servers. Moving down to the North America site, you can see that it recommends 2 management points and 8 distribution point servers. I'm not going to go through and review all the other sites, as you probably get the idea now, but you can see that the SMS Capacity Planner is a great tool to use to model your environment and to assist with planning before you move to lab testing. It can be used to achieve that network usage versus dollar usage balance that I talked about previously. Now let's summarise the Capacity Planner. In order to use Capacity Planner, you need to specify the number of physical locations, the connectivity between locations, including the speed and availability, the number of clients at each location, the tiers of your proposed hierarchy based on network topology, and whether or not local administration is available. Then, you need to select the SMS features that you want to use and configure the intended loading for each feature. After inputting all of this information, you get detailed output containing recommendations for edge site server types and site systems, as well as hardware recommendations for site servers and site systems. If we return to the agenda, our next topic is deployment considerations. Let's start with the Deployment Readiness Wizard. We talked a little about the Deployment Readiness Wizard, so let's look at it in a little more detail. It's a required step when you're performing an upgrade from SMS2 or SMS2003 RTM. It makes sure that you have no logon discovery or installation in your SMS hierarchy. It also checks to see if software metering is enabled in SMS2, since SMS2003 software metering is dramatically different and the two are not compatible. This needs to be disabled before SMS can be upgraded. It makes sure that your SMS clients meet the minimum site requirements by checking for any Windows 95 clients. Let's look more closely at TestDB upgrade. As mentioned previously, TestDB upgrade performs a test conversion of your SMS2 database to the SMS2003 format. It will tell you whether you're going to have any issues and will give you timings for the upgrade. So, for example, if you only have a 4-hour window in which to complete your upgrade, this will tell you whether that's long enough. TestDB upgrade can also help you minimize potential problems that you may encounter during upgrade by optimizing and tuning your SQL Server. TestDB upgrade should only be carried out on a backup copy of your database, because even if it does succeed, it will stop your SMS2 implementation from working. Now let's look at some security planning considerations. We mentioned advanced security a while back. But what is it? If you're familiar with SMS2, you'll know that there are quite a few accounts that you need to set up. You need to set up the appropriate domain accounts, you have to enter those in the SMS admin console, and if the password gets changed, you'll have to go back and manually update them in the SMS admin console. If you have Active Directory, you can run SMS in advanced security mode, which doesn't use domain accounts for normal SMS operations, with one exception. There are some situations in software distribution where you might need to use a client access account that's not used by your servers, just your clients. Advanced security uses local system accounts for everything. The computer account is used to get data on and off of the client computer, and the local system account is used to run all of the SMS services. It makes things a lot easier and it's more secure. You also need to consider that if you have Active Directory, what advantages can you get from it in your SMS implementation? In order to validate a policy coming from a management point or content coming from a distribution point, a public-private key pair is used to sign all of the information coming from the management points in a site. If you have Active Directory, the public key is stored in Active Directory and is a trusted source for clients to go and obtain that public key. If you don't have Active Directory, the public key is obtained from the management point the first time the client communicates with it. If you have Active Directory, there are some schema extensions that you should carry out, which we'll talk about in a moment. From a security perspective, you should ideally plan on using the advanced client. It's more robust, more scalable, and more secure. Unless you have specific reasons, This should be your default client on computers running Windows 2000 or later. If you have Active Directory, not only are the keys used to secure data sent between the client and server roles, but also information sent from server to server and between sites is signed, so those keys should be securely stored in Active Directory as well. If you have Active Directory and have multiple forests, there are some additional considerations that you need to think about. It's likely that some of the audience for this session may have multiple Active Directory forests, so there are some additional factors that must be considered in an SMS design for a multi-forest environment. A single SMS site cannot span multiple Active Directory forests. However, it can span multiple domains in the same forest. If you want to manage multiple forests with SMS, you'll need at least one site per forest, because SMS sites in one forest can report to SMS sites in another forest. There are a couple of points you need to bear in mind, however. Site server computer accounts will need to have permissions in the other site's forest. If one or more forests is running Windows 2000 Active Directory in mixed mode, or Windows Server 2003 Active Directory is using interim domain functional level, you must use user accounts for site addresses. If you want advanced clients to roam outside of their assigned forests, you will need to configure WINs. Finally, the secure key exchange that we covered on the previous slide is not available between forests. If you're using Active Directory with SMS, you need to extend the schema to get the best experience. We've mentioned extending the schema several times so far in this session. You don't have to extend it, but there are several good reasons for doing so. Firstly, it enables advanced clients to roam across your SMS hierarchy without the need for WINs. Extending the schema also allows automatic site assignment where the server locator point role isn't specified. The secure key exchange functionality that was discussed before needs the schema extensions in order to leverage Active Directory. So we've discussed why you would extend the schema, but how do you do it? You can extend the Active Directory schema as part of SMS setup, but you need to ensure that the Active Directory schema allows updates and ensure that the account used to extend the schema is a member of the schema admins group. You also need to create a systems management container in the systems container in Active Directory, and you need to grant SMS full control permissions on that container. Let's return to the agenda. Now we'll move on to the final topic, which is understanding the features of SMS 2003. We've talked a lot about the methodologies and considerations when planning and deploying SMS 2003, but quite often an SMS deployment goes hand in hand with a client operating system upgrade, which is where the asset inventory and reporting functionality of SMS proves useful. Asset inventory and reporting can help in two ways. It can help reduce hardware and software costs by identifying what hardware you have already, what applications you have installed, how and where installed applications are actually used, and ensuring compliance with your available software licenses. It can also help enable informed business decisions by providing you with an accurate view of assets across your organization, making planning software and hardware upgrades much easier. So let's take a look at some of the reporting features of SMS. The first one shows a count of all the different operating systems in the environment, so you can see how many of your systems are running XP and how many are running Windows 2000 Server and so on. We can drill down into that a little more and see the operating systems broken down by service pack, so that you can get an understanding not only of the operating systems that you have in your environment, but also their service pack levels. You can click any of these drill down arrows, and it will show you all of the computers running that operating system. This report then shows all of the computers that are running that particular operating system and service pack. You can also create other reports. We have a report called Computers with Low Disk Space, so we're going to specify Show me all the computers that have less than 1 gigabyte of free disk space. You could use this kind of report to see if any disk upgrades were necessary prior to an operating system or office upgrade. So if you run the report, you can see that you have quite a few systems with less than 1 gigabyte of free disk space. Let's look at a few more report examples. This report will show you all the systems that can be upgraded to Windows XP. There is also a report that will show you all the systems that cannot be upgraded to Windows XP. Let's look at one more report. This report will tell you how many instances you have of a particular program registered in Add Remove Programs on all the systems across your hierarchy. Let's look at an example of this report for Microsoft Office Project. Here you can see all the systems that have Project 2003 installed on them. That's the final report we're going to look at, so let's move on to the session summary. If you're currently running SMS 2 or not running SMS at all, and you need some assistance in justifying the implementation of SMS 2003, check out the Forrester report. SMS 2003 is ready to deploy. Many organisations like to wait for the first service pack of a product to be released before deploying it. SP1 is out and ready to go, and is probably one of the smallest service packs ever released for SMS. Finally, use the tools that we've covered throughout this presentation in order to ensure an effective deployment of SMS 2003. These are the planning worksheets, the capacity planner, the deployment readiness wizard, and the TestDB upgrade setup switch. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/MGT-02 for more information on books, courses, certifications and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. The Systems Management Server 2003 Administrator's Companion is available at most major bookstores. Microsoft Learning, formerly Microsoft Training and Certification and Microsoft Press, develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, Microsoft Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals and will teach you how to support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The courses that best support this session are Managing Microsoft Systems Management Server 2003 and Planning and Deploying Microsoft Systems Management Server 2003, both of which are available now. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft Official Curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft Learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, you can become a fully certified system administrator or system engineer or a desktop specialist. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, please welcome Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet. Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you realised the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus to help them build their technical expertise and be successful implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet and support, the new TechNet support pages outline all the support options open to you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/technet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face to face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you for attending this TechNet session.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.